Thanks, Matt. I felt to start off with telling you a little bit about Cambodia, and then we'll get on to the Israel trip. First, I just wanted to thank everyone here who has been praying for me either before I went or while I was away. I can honestly say I had the peace of God with me the whole time in Cambodia and Israel. And you know, a lot of you know what was happening in Israel previously, but the peace of God, you know, just is above everything. It's above everything. So that's where I want to start. Thank you. And just about Cambodia, the Lord spoke to me at the start of the year in January when I set my goals. He helps me to think about what I'd like for the year, and then he talks to me about what he wants for the year for me. And Cambodia, he put on my heart as quite a surprise. And then one night, Christine was preaching in April, and we had a time at the end of the sermon where Christine just said, "I feel this to be quiet before the Lord. He's going to speak to a few people about things." And that's when he spoke to me some more, and he gave me the month of September. And anyway, basically, I didn't pray enough about it, but finally it all came together and I was there. And I visited a church that I'd visited 5 years ago with the team previously. This time I felt to go alone, which was a bit of an adventure. And I just want to share three main aspects of the trip and what the Lord's been doing over there. And it was great to be there 5 years after I'd seen what was happening before, because things like the terrible slum on the Mekong River that used to get flooded every year, the government had given them land and now it was up somewhere much better and much better accommodation. Just seeing the transformation in some of the communities. And one of the most exciting ministries they have at this church called Heartland International, which was planted by a church, a guy here in Brisbane, Andrew Cook, is the prison ministry. And 5 years ago, they went into the prison and they said, we'd like to run a Bible study here. And they said, "Oh no, we don't want you to do that." So what they did is they just started to serve for a couple of years, just helping them plant some vegetable gardens and some trees for shade and shelters and different things. And they just served for a couple of years. And when the prison felt it was time to start the Bible study, who did they ask? They said, "Would you like to start a Bible study?" And they've been running that faithfully. And I said to Pastor Channa, you know, I thought when I was going to a prison it would be violent and, you know, I knew I'd have God with me, but I just, my perception of what it would be like and what actually it was just so different. And he said it used to be like that. It used to be quite violent and it was, you know, terrible to go in there. And now, 5 years after they started the work, you can just walk around and a man just walked up and shook my hand and, you know, not even part of the group. And we sat down with 35 people and ran a Bible study. And the peace of God that is in that place is just amazing. And I said to Pastor Channa, "How many Christians would you have now?" He said there was 0% 5 years ago, and now he says about 40% are Christians. And the people that come to the Bible study, because lots of people want to come but there's not room, and the prison wants them to come in, you know, every day of the week, but they haven't got the resources to do that. Just amazing. Thank you, Lord. But the prisons go to the Bible studies and go back to their cellmates. They've got a captive audience and you know, can share what they're learning. And when they're released from prison, transformed, they go and tell their family and friends. So God is just doing amazing stuff. And we're just so excited to be there. There was another Aussie couple that just happened to randomly be there as well. And she'd always wanted to go to prison. And I'm just so excited about what God's doing there and what he can do in prisons. So that's the first exciting thing. I got to share at a few different groups. They had a youth group on a Friday night. The prison got to share some testimony there, a women's group, and then a couple of services on the Sunday. And the Lord showed up at all of them and showed what to share, and people got touched in different ways. But the one that really blew me away the most was the women's group. There was only 8 women there, and the pastor's wife, Simi, and myself, and we just all sat on the floor, and she wanted me to share a bit about financial teaching and businesses and help them to trust the Lord more, so that was really good. And then we had a discussion about hearing from the Lord, and at the end, we said, "Who would like prayer?" And all 8 wanted prayer, and the Lord just met them where they were at. They were all hungry, and there's 3 examples I'd like to share. One was a lady who the Lord showed me when she arrived. She was quite troubled in her face, and I could see she was a bit controlling, and she was worrying about something. And when it came time to get prayer, God gave me a word of knowledge. Someone had a problem with their knee. I felt it was just one knee, and there was a lady that had a problem with one knee, but this lady said she had a problem with her knees as well. And then she also shared that she had her daughter and son-in-law, someone had been trying to kill them repeatedly, and she was really worried. So no doubt she was worried, and she's And during the time of sharing too, we talked about giving your problems to the Lord. And she said, oh, sometimes the Lord gives them back to you. And then the Lord sort of quickened to me to say, sometimes we take them back from the Lord. And so then, you know, that kind of, that word sort of sat in her. And anyway, we prayed for her. And as we started to pray, you know, she started crying. And just, you know, you could see the Lord was really working in her heart. And between that day and the next two services I saw her on Sunday, she just had such a peace and a joy that she was able to really give that problem to the Lord. So praise God for helping her just to release that to him and know that she could trust him. There was another lady who had a sore back. She'd had childbirth about 5 years prior, and she'd had a sore back ever since that. And I don't even remember sharing about backs or not, but definitely I've been healed from a back and have got anointing to pray for people with back problems. So she got up and Simi and I prayed for her, laid hands on her, and then the power of God fell on her and she fell down. And then the real ministry started that God wanted to do. And she'd obviously had a lot of trauma in her life and she was quite troubled. And we actually, with God's help, obviously, you know, showing us what to do, led by the Holy Spirit, we just had to keep praying in tongues. And the God would show us where to put our hand, what to pray, and or just pray in tongues and he would be doing the perfect prayer. But she got set free from whatever had been troubling her. I don't know the details of it. But she got set free in the peace and just, you know, just was amazing. Another young woman there had a similar experience too, that she got released from whatever had been, you know, binding her. So again, praise the Lord for that. And the third one was an interesting one. She had a problem with her vision being blurred and she couldn't see clearly, so we prayed for her to be healed in Jesus' name. She is healed already in Jesus' name. And then asked her to check the hymn book, and she still had a blurred vision. And then she told us that a woman who was non-Christian had said to her, your Jesus can't heal you, only I can heal you. And she'd spoken these word curses over her. And as soon as she said that, Simi and I knew to break those word curses off her. And straight away she goes, I can see clearly, I can see clearly. And it was just amazing. So praise you, Lord. And I guess my learning, I did some training before I went and that really helped equip me very well. But just to really trust the Holy Spirit to guide you, you know, when you're praying for people, he knows what's best, and that's what's helped in those situations. So very exciting. And then the last Sunday service, we had people who could just come and share testimonies. And one young chap came and shared a testimony that I felt was worth sharing back here today. And he said that during the week he'd been doing something with an electrical appliance, and some of the electricity things over in Cambodia can be a bit dodgy. And as he was unplugging it, he started to get electrocuted. So he cried out to God, and he said he felt a hand come and lift his hand off the power cord, and like there wasn't a person in there in the natural, and he was saved. So praise God. Yeah. So those are some of the exciting things that happened in Cambodia with the Lord. And I just move on to Israel now. So, look, Israel, as Carol said, I mean, every day was just amazing. They're amazing, so many amazing things. And I know Carol and I both said to our tour guide, it's going to take us months to process this when we get back. But he said it's probably going to take even longer because God just shows you so much. It's just amazing. If you ever get the chance to go to Israel, it's just so worth it as a Christian to really build your faith. And it's not just about seeing what happened in the past. I mean, that's fabulous. You know, going to the Garden Tomb, going to where the Day of Pentecost happened and those things, that's all exciting and it's all fabulous. But what really also touched me and God spoke to me about was it's being a Christian today, and it's his love for the Jewish people. And it's how God is trying to bring the Jewish people and the Christian people together. That just struck me so much. And if you don't already love the Jewish people, you don't already love Israel, ask God to help you, because it's part of what he wants to do. You know, Jesus was a Jew when he lived his life here on earth. And you know, obviously he brought Christianity in as he died with his teaching prior. But yeah, so when we went to the Wailing Wall before, I thought, oh, yeah, people are going and praying and they wail and, you know, what's going on? But when you go there and you see their hearts, their hearts for God, you know, and their understanding of God might be a bit different from our understanding of God, but all the Jewish people that are there, their hearts for God. We were there for the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur, and we actually, you know, my heart's prayer was we could participate in some of the Jewish festivals while we were there, because we were there for two different festivals. We went to the last hour of the service in a synagogue, which was jam-packed, that people were standing up in the aisles as well as the synagogue. And again, just their heart's cry for the God. It's just, it's not like heaven, but it's getting closer. It's just like, and so just this work he did in our hearts. And then two other exciting things we did was, you know, I think Matt was saying before we went, we've got to pray for Israel. We're probably there to pray for Israel. We got to go to the Global Day of Prayer that was broadcast to 192 nations through God TV. And just the honour and privilege actually to be sitting there with these people, with Christians praying for Israel, finding out there was about 47 flag bearers from Australia holding all the national flags. It just made you proud to be an Aussie. You were one of the flag bearers. Ah, yes, one of them's here with us today. It just made you proud to be an Aussie and know that God wants us as a nation, Australians and Australians who are Christians, to really support his chosen people, Israel. And the other thing we did was went to the International Christian Embassy of Jerusalem. We had a short encounter with a lady there. But just again, this whole global body of Christians getting behind Israel, just to see that bigger picture, to see more through God's eyes what he's doing. It's awesome. So they were the main things that stood out to me.
Thank you, Janet. Give her a hand. Awesome. Praise God. Well, we're going to have a look at some pictures from Israel, just a handful. I took probably a million pictures while I was there, but I just picked out a dozen of them this morning just to go through a few of those, and I'll explain some things on the way as we look at some of these pics. Wadzi, if we could have them on the screen, just while it's coming up, I'll just share this with you. So, you know, Obama's coming to Brisbane soon for the G20. We're all praying for the leaders at the G20 at the moment, and we're believing that maybe some of them will hear the gospel. And there's 7,000 people coming to Brisbane during the G20, and let's pray that they'll come to the Great South Land of the Holy Spirit and get saved. Wouldn't that be awesome, hey? But, you know, Obama, there's a story about, or a joke I heard actually, about Obama who went on a state visit to Israel. While he was on tour in Jerusalem, the story goes that he had a fatal heart attack. The undertakers told the US diplomats, you can have him shipped home for $1 million, or you can bury him here in the Holy Land for just $100. The US diplomats go into a huddle and come back to the undertaker, and they tell him they want to fly him home for $1 million. The undertaker's puzzled and said, why would you spend $1 million to get him home when it'd be wonderful to be buried here in this religious country and only cost you $100? The diplomat replied, well, more than 2,000 years ago, a man died here. He was buried here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. We simply just can't take that risk. Yeah, so I was able to share that on the trip every day, actually. That was one of my highlights of the day. I was able to share a joke on the bus every day, and that was a bit of fun. But here's the team. Are you getting the memories, girls, seeing all that? Yeah. So there's Tinica over there. Now, Tinica is here today. Let's give her a big hand for coming, you know. Tinica actually tripped over and got a black eye on the trip. And it's almost healed up, praise God. But she had all these colours of the rainbow in her eye and a forehead for most of the trip. And some people thought it was because I was a bit rough on her. It was nothing to do with me. And she's all healed, praise God. But there's Tinica there. There's Ian and Mandy Warby, who are my bosses at Vision Radio. They're doing a tour there right now. And we met with them one day. There's Carol and I. There's Pastor Paul and his wife, Laureen, who are pastors of a church in South Australia. Alison Brooks, who isn't here this morning. We've got Susie there next to her in the green. Janet there in the pink. And Pastor Darrell Potts and his wife there. And also a couple of other ladies from his church. We had 14 of us on the trip. And it was great because we're all full-on Pentecostals wanting to pray and worship and open the Word of God together. And it was just one of those things. You know, I don't know if you remember going to a youth camp as a kid. For me, whenever I was at a youth camp, I'd have this massive spiritual high and on fire. And then you come back and then it's like, oh, how do we get back into life again, you know? That's a little bit what it's like been for us in the last week. It was the most amazing time. And then you're back like, okay, back into Australia, into life, okay, into jobs, into kids and taking them to school and making lunches. And then, you know, it's been like that. But the truth is, once you go to a place like the Holy Land, you get a vision and a picture of what God's doing over there, and it stays with you forever. And we are going to take another tour next year in early September. If anyone wants to find out more details, we'll be doing that. That picture there was taken at Beersheba at the cemetery where there are many soldiers buried. And we actually took some photos there. We'll go to the next slide there too. This is a picture I took of a grave. You can't see it that well, a gravestone. And it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? And it says, God rewardest every man according to his work, straight from the scriptures. And I put the book there of the 800 Light Horsemen. As we were in Beersheba, I was able to read from Cole Stringer's book about 800 Light Horsemen, because my great-great-grandfather was one of the riders in the Light Horse in World War I. And it's a real part of my family history. Leonard Charles Wheaton, his name was. He survived and came back to Australia and lived at the Inogra Army Barracks, 2 minutes from where I live, trained here in Brisbane. Amazing part of my family history. And so we're able to see all these stones. And some of these gravestones, they said, you know, they were age 20 or 18 or 22. But the truth is, some of the soldiers lied about their age. Some of them were 15 years old. 16 years old, who went to World War I to fight for the Allies and to fight for Jerusalem to be set free from the Turkish Muslim powers. An amazing story in our history. So we went to the plains where Beersheba was, and it's, you know, it's where the wells were from, you know, the Old Testament with Moses and all that. You can read all the biblical history as well. Abraham. And you can hear all the story about the history of it, but it's where the battle was, you know, took place. In World War I, and the 800 Aussie Light Horsemen, because they had a well there, and if they didn't take that well that night, all they probably would have, you know, died, because they had no water for the horses, no water for them, and just at sunset, the Aussies rode out, and I truly believe Australia needs to have that Aussie Light Horse spirit, amen? The church in Australia needs to be saying, charge, onward, Lord, wherever you call us, we'll go. And so you can tell we're a bit fired up about that. So that was part of the trip that was actually towards the end of the trip. We'll go to the next picture there. So this was at the Day of Prayer for the Peace of Jerusalem. And that's a Japanese pastor who's been living in Israel for many years. He's actually a great man of God who spoke in Brisbane just in the last couple of months, actually, an amazing man of God. Through a number of God incidences, we were able to go to this global day of prayer, about 500 people there. There was 45 Aussies there, all waving flags from different nations. Some beautiful Aboriginal Indigenous ladies from Northern Territory who listened to Vision Radio every day. I had a big chat to them, and a whole bunch of Aussies there. People from different nations, and I went up to the God TV journalist and said, I'm from Australia, can I do an interview? And they said, yeah, sure. So I did a little interview with them on God TV, which is exciting. I know a number of people watched it and saw us worshipping and praying for the peace of Jerusalem. There were a number of politicians there, a number of prayer ministry leaders. That was an amazing day for us. We're going to play a clip shortly. Let's go to the next picture there. There's my gorgeous wife in the Dead Sea floating away. She's like, honey, you told me I could use this photo, didn't you? So this is in the Dead Sea. So it is the lowest point on the earth in the Dead Sea. And you go in and it's really oily and warm and beautiful. Really good for you. You notice I'm glowing? Yeah. Really good for your skin. And we actually got the mud and put the mud all over us too. And oh, it's fantastic. So it was an amazing place to go and visit the Dead Sea. And, you know, it's interesting. We shared a devotion on the bus on the way there that some people are like the Dead Sea, where nothing goes in and nothing goes out, and it's just all about you and you're just dead inside. But some people are like the Jordan River. Water flows in and water flows out. How are you living your life for God? Are you just like the Dead Sea, not receiving and not giving? Or are you like the Jordan? Are you having God flow into you and God flow out of you? You know, that's a big challenge for you there. Next one there. This is the Vicar of Baghdad, one of my heroes of the faith. This man is an Anglican minister with a Pentecostal background who has for many years been the vicar in Baghdad. And we all know ISIS is bearing down on Baghdad. They're trying to get into Baghdad, and it could fall in the coming weeks. And we need to pray that the Iraqi government does hold on to Baghdad, as ISIS has got it in their targets. But he was based in Baghdad up until that day. He had just come from Baghdad to Jerusalem. And I was able to interview him. That's on our YouTube channel. And I put him on the radio as well and got a photo with him. He's actually got MS and has serious physical problems. And he's just got such a heart for God. And he's a man that has seen thousands of people converted and come to Christ. and thousands of them have been killed for their faith because it's such a hostile environment for Christians in Iraq. He's been through hell and back, basically. And that night, he put on his Facebook that he'd been speaking to the Archbishop of Canterbury and had decided to stay in Jerusalem. So he's officially left Baghdad now because they're predicting it will be too dangerous for him to stay. So an incredible man of God, the Vicar of Baghdad, and that's his gorgeous daughter there. Next slide. So here's some of the girls from Arnhem Land and some of Tinica's friends there. What ministry are they part of again? Evangelical Sisterhood of Mary, a Lutheran ministry, and M. Basilea Schlink, is it? Yeah, she has written a book, and that's impacted me years ago. So they're from that ministry, connected to her. Beautiful women of God, amazing all the people you meet over there. Next slide, please, Wadzi. There we are. Now, this is an incredible place. We are visiting the gates of hell. And you're all thinking, what's he talking about here? It doesn't look that bad. It's just a big rock, you know. We visit a place which is talked about in the Bible, and we're going to have a look at this Bible verse in a moment. You can see the group of us there. We're going to have a look at this Bible verse because I don't just want this to be a tour guide talk. I want to get into the Word of God because, you know, we like to have the Word of God in church. So in Matthew 16, 13, 27, we're going to look up this passage if you want. But this is a place where we've got this group photo together. This is a place where there's this massive cliff, and it's just outside of, it's in the middle of Israel, and at this big cliff, next to us, there is a big cave with a big hole underneath it, and there's an altar in the middle there. Now, this altar is a place where they used to sacrifice children, sacrifice animals, used to do horrific, satanic, evil practices. And they actually believed that it was the doorway to hell where demons would come up to the earth. This is what they believed. And Jesus knew that this was a place where all this evil took place. And Jesus is walking around with his disciples, teaching them as he did, and he took them to this place, just where we're standing there. And he started speaking to them. He went to the region of Caesarea Philippi, or they call it Caesarea. Some Hebrew Jewish men say this. They went to Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And Jesus said, "But what about you?" he asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said this, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Now, this area here is actually called the gates of Hades, the gates of hell. This is what it's known as in Israel. This is where they did the most horrific, evil things you can imagine. Satanist cults doing all these horrible things. So imagine the worst of the worst of the worst you can imagine happening on the planet. And Jesus said this, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the worst of the worst, will not overcome it." He said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." And Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." And Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good would it be for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." Isn't that an amazing passage to hear about? Jesus spoke about this when he was at this location at the gates of hell. And he was saying, no matter what evil is going on in the world, no matter what bad thing the devil's doing, don't worry about what the enemy is doing, because he says, take heart, I have overcome the world. And the church of, and you could just imagine the disciples going, hang on, okay. So you're saying, I will build my church, and upon, you know, so just to make it clear, the Catholic Church, they interpret this verse as it's Peter who is the rock that they'll build the church on, and they believe that Peter was the first pope, and that's where we get the tradition of who the pope is today. Now, I'm not a Catholic. I don't believe in that theology. That's a different doctrine to what we believe as evangelical Christians and Pentecostals. That's separate to what we believe. We believe that the revelation that Peter got was that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That is what will get people saved when they understand that revelation, and that was what will build the church. So we believe in the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, and that is what we build the church on. That is what we share with yeseis.com around the world. That is what we share whenever we travel and we preach the gospel. That same message that Jesus preached 2,000 years ago, he's passed the baton to us, and he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and this is his promise. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. No matter what is thrown at the church, no matter what division, deception, no matter what diversion or split, no matter what the enemy throws at the church of the living God, Jesus said, I will build my church. And you know, it's not up to the pastor. I'm really not the senior pastor. Jesus is the senior pastor, amen? He is the one that promises he will prophesy. He promises he will build. He promises he will deliver. He promises he will save. He will send out workers in the harvest field. He is the one that is the reason why we're all here today, because he promised he would build his church. Now you can imagine the disciples, 12 of them, going, hang on, us? You're banking everything on us? Fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary unschooled men, nothing real bright about those guys. They fell out of rabbi school. They didn't even end up being, you know, following a rabbi and getting trained like all the other good Jewish men. They didn't end up in the Pharisees or the Sadducees. They didn't end up like Paul being an established Jew who was a very learned man of the Torah, of the Old Testament. These guys were just ordinary unschooled men that Jesus said, drop your nets and come follow me. Give up your tax collecting and come follow me. You know, tax collecting is like the mafia in the day. They were the dodgiest of the dodgy. Matthew, good name, by the way, means gift from God. Thank you. Prater means to talk a lot too. Thank you. You know, imagine Matthew, the dodgy tax collector, Peter, the fisherman. These guys, he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God can use those guys. God can use anyone. God can use you to help him build his church. It's not up to you. It's up to Jesus through you. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is living inside of us. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's given us the word of God as a sword of the spirit to overcome all the works of the enemy. When the devil comes in, God promises he will raise up a standard against him. And he said he will build his church and the gates of hell, the worst of the worst, won't even prevail against it. Let's believe that Jesus has overcome the world, and let's live like it. Let's think like it. Let's talk like it. Let's have faith like it. Let's use our finances like it. Let's use our time like it. Let's believe that Jesus actually is who he says he is and will do what he said he will do. He will build his church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's keep going through some more pictures here before I get too carried away. So there we are, praying over Syria. So we went up to the Golan Heights in the northern part of Israel, and we're at a lookout there, and I got a chance to interview a couple of United Nations observers that were there with their binoculars looking out. And last year when I went there, there was an actual war taking place in Syria where the Syrian rebels had taken an army off the Syrian taken a village off the Syrian army, and I was able to get a YouTube clip of that last year, and it was actually quite, you know, our tour guide said if he knew about it, he wouldn't have taken us up there. This year, it was a lot safer, except when I was standing there at the lookout, over that direction, you could hear bombs going off, And I asked the UN guys, what's that? And he said, it's either ISIS or the US bombing someone, but we can't tell right now. I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And then the Israeli Defense Force turned up, about 50 of them, some of their top guns, their big guns there, and they gave a little lecture to all their new recruits about what was happening on the border of Syria and Israel. And we're like, wow, we are in the middle of, you know, you hear news reports about this every day around the world, and we're in the middle. So what did we do? We stood there and we all prayed. We prayed for the peace of the Middle East. We prayed for Israel and Jerusalem for protection. We prayed for God's kingdom to come. And I've got to say, a lot of people go to Israel and they just learn about the history and the geography and the this and the that. We were there to pray. We were there to worship. We were there to bring God's kingdom in that nation. Amen? So that you'll see a number of those through the pics. Next slide there. I just wanted to share this verse with you here too, because I really felt God speak to me about, you know, a lot of Aussies in particular are cynical and don't believe that Jesus ever existed. Let me tell you, there is so much evidence that Jesus existed, and not just that he just existed, but he actually rose from the dead and is alive today. There is so, you know, who believes that Julius Caesar is an actual person? Who's heard of Julius Caesar in history? Okay, everyone in the world believes he's an actual person. You know, according to historicity and according to historical research, there is six times more evidence that Jesus rose from the dead than Julius Caesar ever existed. So everyone believes Julius Caesar existed, right? Six times more evidence, not just that Jesus existed, but that he rose from the dead. And when you're over there, you go, you see all the places where Jesus was, you see, you know, clearly he existed, but there's, you know, they say for every one prophecy about Jesus coming the first time, there is eight prophecies that he'll come a second time. And that's what we're eagerly awaiting, the second return, the coming of Jesus, you know. And, you know, so I just think as Christians, we need to realize this is true. This, like Carol said, if you were a bit of a Christian before you go to Jerusalem, after you've been there, you've got to be a real Christian, because you just believe that it all happened and all the Bible's true. So here's a good quote from C.S. Lewis. Christianity is a statement which if false, is of no importance. And if it's true, it is of infinite importance. The one thing it cannot be is moderately important. Guys, this is the most important message on the planet, that Jesus lived in Israel. He died in Israel. He rose again, and he's coming back to the same place. We need to preach that gospel boldly and preach it like it's fact, like it's evidence, like it's happened. Preach it like, and the best testimony, your testimony is the best evidence you can share. Like Janet just shared before, she shared with us on the trip briefly about her testimony. She was living in the world. She was a financial planner. She was an alcoholic. She was going through hell and back in her life in all sorts of different ways. She's come to Christ, and now look at the light that shines out of her whenever she speaks, you know. That's a testimony. You can't argue with the evidence in her life. What's the evidence in your life? Can people see your testimony? Some people say you might be the only Bible that people actually read. Are you a living testimony that Jesus is alive today? All right, next picture. You can also see there's Alison, one of our team, on a camel. We did have a bit of fun on the trip as well. And I won't go on with that, but she was a bit scared. But thank God that she overcame that fear and rode that camel. Good on her. Next slide there. The garden tomb. Oh. So we go to this place called Golgotha. And it's got a big cliff face there, and you can see two big holes, and underneath it another big hole, which is why they call it the place of the skull. It's been known as that for thousands of years, the place of the skull. It's the place where Jesus was crucified. And surprisingly, there's an Arab bus stop there now, because it's in the Muslim quarter. There's an Arab bus stop at the foot of this cliff now, and it's all falling to bits, and they reckon in a couple of years it mightn't even be what it looks like right now, which is just amazing when you think that's where our Lord was crucified. But you go there and you see that, and then next to it there's this beautiful Christian ministry called the Garden Tomb. And we went in there, and it was a tomb that was discovered many years ago. They're not sure if it is the exact tomb that Jesus was in, but it's in the area and it's nearby, and they've preserved it as a genuine tomb from the place. And the good news is he's not there. He's risen. If he was there, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? I pin my whole life that he has risen. Everything I do is because I believe that he has risen. I have faith that he has risen from the dead. And there's no evidence that he's there. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Next slide there. You'll also see... Oh, so that's it. So that's a team. Okay. So we're going to show a clip now. So I've got three clips I want to play. I want to share with you as well. and I'm going to share a bit about them each one. So let's play the first clip. It's with my iPhone, so the audio mightn't be that good. So I'll just talk over the clip. This is one of the couples from Victoria that was with us. They actually felt God led them to come specifically on this tour, had an amazing time. There's Janet. There we are on the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus walked on the water, where Peter walked on the water and fell down, and Jesus said, "You have little faith, keep your eyes on me." There's Carol and Tinica having a cuddle there. There's Pastor Darrell there worshipping. There's Joe, our tour guide, thinking, what are all these Christians up to? I might get into this one day. There's Pastor Paul worshipping. We're singing Amazing Grace. What an amazing place to sing and to worship. I just wanted to share that with you there, just to give you a glimpse of some of the beauty of this trip. When you go on the Sea of Galilee, you play worship music. I got up and shared the story about Peter and Jesus walking on the water. We're able to open up the Word of God and to go to the place where it happened. And Carol and I had a swim in the Sea of Galilee that night and just thought, wow, thank you, God, for inviting us to Israel. We believe that God called us there. Now, I just want to share a bit about that. You know, there's some people that believe that every Christian is called to go on a pilgrimage to Israel one day. I'm not so sure whether that is 100% the case, but I do believe that God certainly does call some people to definitely go. I know He called me the last 2 years. And next year when I go, I'm planning to film a documentary there because I just believe that more people need to see more and more about Israel as much as we can. But I did a bit of research on it, and it's interesting that in Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, it talks about how in the Old Testament times, the Jews would pilgrimage to Jerusalem 3 times a year on their feast days. 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place He will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, the Festival of Weeks, and the Festival of Tabernacles. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord God has blessed you. So that's one of the verses that's used. Now, once again, this is in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, explaining that for the Jewish people, it's important for them to go to Jerusalem. Now, I believe we can appropriate that to New Testament believers in the New Covenant. And God could be speaking to you and saying, I'm calling you to go to Israel, to go to Jerusalem. Every one of us on the trip had a God story of how God had provided the finances, God had given us the leave from our work, God had set us up with some financial miracle or some blessing, and God supernaturally moved the chess pieces around in our lives to go to the Holy Land. And as you can see, each one of us has just been so fired up. I know Chris and Sherry went a bit earlier in the year as well, fired up. You know, everyone that goes there just has a love for the Jewish people and what God is doing in that land. Maybe God is calling you. And I'm asking you to pray. Seek the Lord about it. If you want to come on our team next year, you can, early September. Maybe you've got your own pilgrimage God's calling. But seek God about it and ask Him to provide. It's interesting that when the disciples, in the Old Testament, when the Jews were going to Israel, if you read Psalms 120 to Psalms 135, all of those psalms were written as pilgrims were going on their way. They're called the Psalms of Ascents or the Pilgrim Songs. So isn't that an interesting bit of biblical history? So there's 150 Psalms. Psalms 120 to 135 are all written as people were going on their way to Jerusalem for one of the feasts. So think about that. Every book of the Bible has some kind of layer beneath it that we need to dig a little deeper into. And so when you read those Psalms, 120 to 135, think about it. Wow. These guys were going on their way to Jerusalem on a pilgrimage and they were taking an offering to God. Think about it in the context of those Psalms. Everything. A lot of people think, I'm just going to read the New Testament. I'm not interested in the Old Testament anymore. Let me tell you, since my trip, I'm digging into the Old Testament more and more, realizing how it all pictures. There's all these types of Christ all through there. There's all these prophecies in there. There's all these things that relate to us as New Testament believers. So don't throw it away. Don't ignore it. Dig a little deeper. Time and time on the trip, God spoke to us and said there's layers and layers and layers into the Word of God. And that's what the Jewish people do. They're known as some of the wisest people on the planet. You know, the Jewish people have won per capita more Nobel Peace Prizes. They've invented more things. They've been so incredible than many other people on the planet. because I believe they're God's chosen people and they do amazing things. But you know, one of the things they do is they question, they ask questions a lot. And that's how you learn, by digging deeper, asking questions, researching, asking your rabbi, asking your pastor, digging deeper. So that's just another little thing I want to share. Let's play the next clip, Wadzie, if we could, please. There's my gorgeous wife. So there's all the flag wavers. There's all our team worshiping God. And listen to this guy's voice, Pastor Robbie Stearns. There's Janet and Susie. Oh, a little bit more to go. So that clip there is at a lookout overlooking Israel. God did all these miracles to line us up. We met the right people and found out about it and were able to go on the Sunday night. Broadcast in 195 nations around the world. There's a few more clips on our YouTube channel you can see. And Christine's brought a friend along here today. What's your name?
Joan.
Is the microphone working there? The white microphone, guys. Have we got that on? Here we go.
Joan Westaway.
And how did you end up at that same gathering as us the other day?
Well, it had been arranged and they had asked, because they knew, I went over with the banner team, and because they had had the banner team there in the past, we were invited along just to minister with the banners in the background, and it was just such an awesome opportunity. I was just so blessed.
And you've written a poem about Jerusalem. Do you want to share that with us today?
I'd love to share that. It came about, as soon as I got into Israel, I started weeping. I did so much weeping. God was doing something in here. He told me I had an appointment in Jerusalem, but it wasn't. It was in Israel, culminating in Jerusalem. And he put on my heart something that had never been there. I had a lot of yuckiness about the Jews because of things said in my childhood, but I've had to deal with it. But he... because the enemy knew that, because he knew that God had placed something in me in here. And there was one particular night, I woke up at 2 a.m. with the words that I wrote here. It was after this different times that we were ministering, I could see a pattern in what had been happening right through. So here it is. It's called Pray for the Peace of Jerusalem. Contended. Befriended, attacked, defended Jerusalem. So old, so new, oft destroyed, oft renewed Jerusalem. Fought over, sought after, wept over with laughter, Jerusalem. Accepted, denied, desired, despised, Jerusalem. Living stones, living waters, many sons, many daughters, Jerusalem. Burned, spurned, dispersed, returned, Jerusalem. Political tool, his precious jewel. We pray for your peace, Jerusalem.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. No, I want this. Can I keep that?
Yeah. I can send it to you too if you want to.
No, I'm going to keep it. Thanks.
I bless you with it.
That is powerful. Bless you. Let's give her a big hand. Thank you for coming today. Awesome. You're right, I'll give you a hand down. There you go. I also bumped into another friend of mine from Canberra, Jamie Pryor, who was there. He helps us with the National Day of Prayer. It's amazing how God set things up on our trip. Okay, we're going to play one more clip before we wrap up today. And we're going to have a time of prayer and ministry at the end. Let's roll that last clip there, please.
What do you serve the Lord? Went to study in Germany, Bible, then to the States, finished some more, came back in 1991. And then I
we have that volume up.
Started the work. I took over a church with 9 members. Ended up with nobody because I was maybe too much for them.
So, church growth.
Yeah. Actually, one lady, I know why she left. She died. The rest. The rest.
And that's a one way road.
At least I know why she left. But anyway, it was very difficult at the beginning because the church was empty for several years. At the end, the denomination I was working with, they asked me if I would like to leave because my reports were all the time zero, you know. How many members you have? Zero. How many baptized? Zero. How many? You know? So it was difficult what to do. Just quickly saying one encounter with the Lord, really what again kept me going. Is that, you know, I come to the Lord with some suggestions saying, well, how about leaving the country, you know, because it's so tempting with an empty church, you know, and nobody wants to work with you. So I asked the Lord, can I leave, you know, because I'm a failure to immigrate. But then the Lord put on my heart to read Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. After reading the book of Jeremiah, I realized it was a different story. It was not about what he was writing, it was about the person himself. Jeremiah was a prophet of God, and he was, since a little boy, all his life served the Lord. But in the eyes of people, he was a failure.
Wow.
Because nobody believed him, nobody took his message. And so, in the eyes of people, he was a failure. But in the eyes of God, he was a success.
Beautiful.
Was to serve the Lord, went to study.
Looks like that clip may have frozen there. So that's a pastor that we met in Bethlehem, and he was just sharing there briefly that his church was zero. Basically, he had no one in his church for 10 years, and he struggled, because in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, it's in the Palestinian territory, and Christians are severely persecuted there, and most of them emigrate. Most of them just leave because it's so dangerous there. And through a couple of God connections, once again, he turned up at our lunch and shared that at a restaurant there. And there was a team from Interfaith Travel, another Christian Aussie group that were touring Israel at the same time. And he was able to preach for about 10 minutes. And Carol and I both would have to say it would be one of the highlights of the trip to hear him share. It's not about the success of your church on the outside. It's about what is God doing in you. Are you obeying what God's put on your life? And the persecution he's been under, and he was actually going off to Jordan to minister straight after that, but he couldn't tell everyone because if the Palestinian owners of the restaurant heard that, they could have reported him, and he could have been locked up, you know, because you know, it's highly dangerous what he's doing in that community. Amazing man of God. So time and time again, God gave us these God connections. Tinica just wanted me to mention, at the Global Day of Prayer, there was a number of traditional Jews, Messianic Jews, and Christians gathered together. And Robbie Stearns from Eagles Wings Ministry, that led worship, said something brilliant. He said, "You're all waiting for Jesus to come to Jerusalem. And you're all asking that question, is it your first or second visit? And Jesus will answer and say, yes." It was a very good diplomatic way of putting it. It was a fascinating comment. And then the Vicar of Baghdad, when he prayed at the Day of Prayer as well, he said, "This isn't the Holy Land, this is the Promised Land." You think about it, the history, you know, of Moses and Joshua and the Promised Land, and this is what was promised to God's people, you know. And you think about the persecution the Jews have been under. You think of we went to the Holocaust Museum there and saw the horrific things that were done to the Jews by Hitler in World War II. and you see how God has raised up and brought them back as a people. Time and time again, Ezekiel 37 come up. Prophesy to the dead bones. God is raising up a new people. And there's a number of applications we could see that in our life today. It's amazing what God is doing in that land. And I just want to challenge you today. Are you a person who is watching to see what's going to happen next? You know, the Bible says, in the last days, Matthew 24, Jesus said, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There will be, there will be earthquakes, famines, disasters. We hear about the Ebola virus. We hear about the terrorist attack. We hear about the war, all the stuff happening in the world. A lot of people are freaking out and worried. And the devil wants to cripple you with fear and wants to stop you from doing what God's wanting you to do. But what does Jesus say? Lift up your eyes. Lift up your heads, for your day of redemption is drawing near. I believe we are in the last of the last days. And God has called us to watch what's happening in Jerusalem. Watch what's happening in the Middle East. Watch what's happening among the nations of the world. Watch what God's doing with Australia, the great south land of the Holy Spirit. Let's watch and let's read the Word of God, because it's not just a book of history and geography, it's a book of prophecy. Prophecies fulfilled all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament are being fulfilled before our very eyes. Let's watch. Let's lift up our heads and let's get excited about the glorious return of this mysterious man from Nazareth called Jesus, the Son of the living God, the one who split time in half. We have AD and BC that we measure our calendars by. He's still the most talked about person on the planet. Time magazine called him the man of the year a couple of years ago. He's the man of the century, the man of the millennium, the man of history. He is the Son of the living God and he is alive today. And you know, he's alive in my heart. And I hope and I pray that he's alive in your heart. The Bible tells us if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then you will be saved. This is the glorious gospel that we have. That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will see the Father in heaven except through me. Jesus is the Son of the living God. And that revelation that Peter got at the gates of hell, he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and all hell might break loose. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will build my church. Are you excited about being part of the overcoming church? Are you excited about being a part of the last days church? They say in a relay run that they save the fastest runner till the end because they're the one that takes the baton across the finish line. I believe that is what the church of the 21st century is about. We are the ones that will take the gospel across the finish line and we will see the greatest awakening and the greatest revival the world has ever seen. And we need to watch. We need to be ready. We need to lift up our heads. Let's all stand to our feet and let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we stand together today, God, I've got so many wonderful memories and stories from Israel I want to share today, and I've run out of time. But God, I pray that what's been shared today, that you will sow seeds in people's hearts, that you will stir up people's hearts today to love you, to be a man or a woman who prays for the peace of Jerusalem, who prays in these end times, in these last days, to see your kingdom come. Who prays to see revival, not only in Israel, not only in the Middle East, but all through the nations of the world. Lord, I've been hearing reports of revival in Iraq. Even though ISIS is bearing down, many people are turning to you, Lord Jesus, because of the Christian witness that is still living in that land. God, we do pray that you'll pour out your Spirit on us today, Lord God. Would you equip us, prepare us, ready us for what is to come as a church, Lord God. We don't want to be found asleep when you return. We want to be found working in the harvest fields. We want to be found putting our hand to the plow, sowing that seed of the gospel and seeing you water it with the Holy Spirit and seeing a harvest, Lord God. God, would you awaken us today? Would your sleeping giant awake? Would your church awaken to the times and the seasons we're in, Lord God? And would you ready us? Would you prepare us to be all that you've called us to be? With every eye closed and every head bowed, I've got two questions to ask as we wrap it up today. The first question, the most important question I could ever ask anyone, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Has he forgiven you of your sins? Have you repented and turned from your wicked ways? And do you want to give your heart to him today? Friend, I believe that Jesus died and he rose again and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and that all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, do you want to give your life to Jesus today? Do you want to be born again? Do you want to have your sins washed away? If you are unsure at all about your destiny, whether you're going to heaven or not, let me tell you, when you ask Jesus into your heart to forgive you of your sins, you make him your Lord, he washes away your sins and you are born again. You are saved. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if you want to give your heart to Jesus today, I want to see your hand up high. Just put it up high if you want to give your heart to Jesus today. Is there anyone here today? I'll pray with you to give you. Thank you, sweetheart. I see that. That's good. Is there anyone else that wants to give their heart to Jesus today? Good on you, mate. I see that too. That's good. Is there anyone else? There's two people so far. I'm looking around. I want to see hands if there's anyone here today. Good on you, sweetheart. That's good. Is there anyone else? Last chance. If you want to give your heart to Jesus right now, I can pray with you. Just put your hand up so I can see it. Anybody here today? Okay, well, let's pray this prayer together. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross so my sins could be forgiven, so I could be born again and set free from the enemy. Forgive me of my sins. Make me born again and set me free. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. I surrender my whole life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, let's give those people a hand that prayed that prayer today. And we would love to give you a Bible, so I'll come and track you down after the service and we'll give you a Bible and a pack about following Jesus. If we could have the worship team come, I really just believe that we're going to have a great time of prayer and ministry right now. And I want to invite you, if you want some prayer, to come to the altar. I'd like to invite Janet and Carol and Tinica and Susie, those that came on the Israel trip. I'd like to ask all of you guys to come out, and we're just going to pray for a blessing on anyone that wants to come today. We believe while we're in the Holy Land, God gave us a special anointing, a special blessing. And while we're in those places at the Global Day of Prayer, and if you want to come out too, sister, as well, and pray for people, we'd love to have you as well. We would love to lay hands on you and pray for a special blessing on you today. If you need healing in your body, if you need deliverance from any evil spirits, if you need a blessing on your sleep, maybe you're not sleeping well, we can pray for you. If you need a financial miracle, whatever it is, just come out the front. Just come out, guys, so there's plenty of room out here, and we can pray for you today. And I also just wanted to give a special welcome to Robert Morton, a guy who used to be an elder in our church for many years, visiting us today. Welcome, Rob. Bless you, mate. And also wanted to welcome my mate Bass that I met at Broken Hill. He's traveling around Australia looking for God to send him out across the nation in a combi van. Bless you, Bass. Thanks for coming today. And if you want some prayer today, just come right up the front here to the altar. Come right up the front and the team will come and we'll pray for you. We'll lay hands on you and pray for a special blessing on you today. And let's worship. If you have to go, I know it's been a bit long today. If you have to go, God bless you. And for those leaders who want to hang around, we're going to have the lunch in about half an hour in the office area at the back there with Brendan today.